Kingway, Fox, Beard, look, his action very weird. Captain Pike, Sisko's wife, Klingons and the afterlife. Boimler, Tendi's dog, Ransom is very hot. Spore Drive, Black Alert, Giorgio has gone berserk. He's a bad left, Edward is an idiot, Spock is dead, Worf is wed, Chekhov's wearing red. Data's cat, Kempak's at, Q has had enough of that, beam me up, make it so, everybody let's go.
We hung about a series, you can join us live by picking up your phone now. We talk about a series, we're coming to you on your streaming services now. We talk about a series,
well, good evening, Trekkies and Trekkers around the globe. It's Monday night, and it's time for one of our special shows. And tonight, I've got a really good one for you guys. You've heard me talk about Fandom Fest in the past, and you've heard me bring it up more recently. Well, we've got a real pleasant surprise for you guys tonight. We have Mike McCord, who works on Fandom Fest. He's one of the great people that brings this awesome convention to us, and he's with us live right now on the line. If you have any questions
That's
or comments,
me.
You'd like to... Yes! If you'd like to talk to Mike, if you have any questions about Fandom Fest, you can call us live right now at 646-668-2433. And I'm your most excellent host, Uncle Jim, and I'll be flying solo tonight as my Trek experts are all busy. But that's okay, because Mike and I have a lot to talk about. Now, welcome back to the podcast, Mike. I believe this is, what, your second time with us?
It's my second appearance. I'm very excited, and I will also, and I have watched so much Star Trek in the last year, Jim, just to be ready. Well, I mean, I was a fan of Star Trek anyway, but in addition to that, to be ready for this conversation.
I have to admit, we play our theme song at the beginning of each podcast, but there was a different promo that I wanted to play to start off the podcast, but I didn't get it uploaded to our website in time, so I apologize for that. This is a spot that we're going to be playing on our podcast from now until Fandom Fest, and this, of course, is the Fandom Fest spot.
Fandom Fest is back at Proctor's August 26th and 27th, featuring your favorite celebrities like Keith David, Alan Tudyk, and Todd Haberkorn. Join the cosplay contest, shop the vendor hall, feast your eyes on the awesome vehicles in the Geek Garage, and join in on a medieval adventure in the Dragon Dungeon. Fandom Fest has something for everyone. Come get your geek on at Fandom Fest August 26th and 27th. Passes on sale now starting at $35. Get yours today at FandomFest.org.
Okay, that's the spot I wanted to play at the top of the show, but I didn't get it uploaded in time, so I apologize for that. But at least we got it in there, right?
I think it's great. I'm going to tell you a true story about the guy who does the voice of that. Hand to God, his name, Stephen King. Not the author.
No.
In fact, that's Steve King. He's a hell of a guy. Love that guy. He's been in radio for decades. He's come to Proctor's in the last year. He's in our marketing department. Just the nicest guy ever. And his name is Steve King. In fact, here's a great thing about Steve King. His daughter lives and works in L.A. She works as a special effects artist. So she works for a company that makes all sorts of, prosthetics and molds and, does sort of that gory makeup work for, cop procedurals and things like that. So her name is Delaney. Delaney is going to be at Fandom Fest. Delaney is going to put her one of her best friends into costume. We're going to do a time-lapse video of Delaney putting this guy into costume. So you're going to see this person go from, sort of mild-mannered, man about town to an orc by the end of the first day. So we're very excited to have Delaney as a part of this, yeah.
before we dive in and talk about the awesomeness, which is Phantom Fest 2023, let's revisit last year a little bit for those fans who are listening who may have missed last year's Phantom Fest, although I can't imagine why you would have. So I just wanted to say that one of the things that I really enjoyed about it, first of all, is it's air conditioned. I can't tell you.
We do have that.
Wearing a rubber Klingon head all day without air conditioning is a killer, but Proctor's is completely air-conditioned.
I mean, Jim, we've all been
all of it.
We've all had the experience of wearing the rubber Klingon makeup, and, you know, I get it. I absolutely get it.
So that was a huge plus. And something that my wife mentioned that she was really fond of was the fact that bathrooms are not a problem. There's bathrooms around every corner, it seems. So, you know, that's nice, because I can't tell you how many times I went to a convention and I had to stand online between Darth Vader and Stormtroopers and Gorns and Captain America to use a urinal. Over at Phantom Fest, there's like bathrooms upstairs, downstairs. They're all over the place. You never have to wait. That's huge.
We're very proud. We're very proud to be the Comic-Con in the United States with the highest per capita bathroom rate. We're very pleased about that.
And that's a big issue. Something else that I thought was really great was that you guys had food truck right outside the back door. And I can't tell you how many conventions I've been to where you have to get in your car and drive somewhere to get something to eat. That's not the case at Phantom Fest. You just walk right out the back door. It was excellent. I was very impressed.
We've expanded that a little bit this year. So one of our big hits last year was there's a very famous hot dog stand, actually, in Schenectady called Mike's Famous Hot Dogs. So we have Mike's on a Roll. That's their food truck. So Mike's is going to be there again. We're going to have Bountiful Bread, which is a sandwich shop that is they bake all of their own bread every day. Bountiful Bread's great. They're going to be at our cafe. We're going to have Restaurant Navona. They're bringing their food truck. They're going to have street tacos, street corn all day Saturday. We're going to have Ben and Jerry's is going to be there. Motor Oil Coffee, Bard and Baker Pastries. I mean, we've got a whole. I mean, listen, if you're hungry, we're gonna take care of you.
And Mike's Michigan Hots are some of the best hot dog you're ever gonna have.
Absolutely,
I can tell you. They got that little shop right down on Erie Boulevard by the bowling alley. Still there?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Oh, it's absolutely still there. Listen, I mean, for soup to nuts, pickle pancakes, they got it all, Jim. They're doing great.
When I used to live there, we'd go bowling, and we'd go get Mike's Michigan Hots right next door back in the day. So I'm glad they're still there. So another thing about Phantom Fest that you guys need to know is the convenient, easy, free parking that's there. The fact that it's in downtown Schenectady, don't let that sway you in any way, shape, or form, because directly behind Proctor's, behind the food trucks, actually, because you're going to have the food trucks in the same location, I assume?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, right behind the building.
Yep.
You sure?
Yep, so right behind the food trucks, there's ample parking. So you don't have to drive around trying to find a place to park. There's plenty of parking right behind Proctor's, which is another huge plus in my book.
Yeah, we've got a couple of lots right behind Proctor's. There's a whole parking, a five-story parking garage. I mean, here's sort of our philosophy. You know, we do Broadway. That's our biggest business, right? We are a Broadway touring house. Lion King, Disney's Lion King is at Proctor's right now. You know, we do this day in, day out, bring 2,500 people into that theater, you know, 8 times a week. And, so we have the infrastructure that a lot of other cons don't have. You know, convention centers are great, but the whole building was designed to bring as many people into that building as we can. So yeah, we really, we feel like we're very fortunate because we feel like we're able to make it very easy for people to get into the building every day.
And another thing that I really liked about it was that there was a lot of movement. There was a lot of places. You weren't stuck in one giant ballroom all day. There was the Geek Garage, which was really cool. And there was the downstairs Dungeons games. I forgot what you guys called it, but
the Dragon Dungeon. Yep, we could play. We've got role playing games. You've got board games, all sorts of stuff. Sure,
that was awesome. And you guys even had. I even played a little bit of Pac-Man and Asteroids last year in the arcade.
Yeah, so we call the main hallway at Proctor's an arcade. You know, it's an old-fashioned term. So just off of the arcade, we have a video arcade, which we have cleverly named the Arcade Arcade. So the arcade is coming back. We're going to have at least 10 full-sized arcade games. I can't tell you what they're going to be. It's a big secret. But we're going to have 10 full-size arcade games. You're going to walk past the arcade. That's going to take you right into our vendor hall. We're very excited about our vendor hall this year. Last year, I think we had 55, 56 vendors total. This year, we're pushing 90 vendors. We've actually run out of room. My co-executive producer and I, Jess Camaras, Jess and I had to walk around the building trying to find new places where we could fit six-foot tables and try to find more space for vendors. So it's really, it's going to be pretty great. We're very excited just to see, you know, what our vendors are going to bring, what our patrons are going to look for. We're very excited about it.
Now upstairs, Trek Talking, we had a table right in the hallway across from the food, but right above us, directly above me, there was a wax museum. Well, I don't want to use the word wax museum, but there was a guy that had figures of, like, the Terminator and Gremlins and different things that you could get pictures with.
Yeah.
Is that going to be there again, that Hollywood museum?
He was so popular that actually we couldn't book him this year. He was already booked. So we're not going to have that this year. However, we are finding we're able to add more panels this year in lieu of having those wax figures. But I will tell you that if you're in town and you're going to the Phantom Fest, make your way over to the Rotterdam Mall, which is only, you know, 5-10 minutes away, because that guy, his name is Daniel Fay, he owns Sassy Satellite, which is a collectible, you know, company. They have a whole museum now, sort of inspired by what they did at Fandom Fest. So we're really excited for Daniel and for his son Max, who run that shop. But yeah, we couldn't book them; they were too popular.
Now, not to change topic just a tiny bit, but you brought it up. At the Rotterdam Square Mall, do they still have the aquarium there and the dinosaur show?
So they have the aquarium, the dinosaur show. Here's the thing. I'm not prepared to talk about what it is because I don't remember, but I do know that the dinosaur show has moved on. They have something else, but I can't tell you what it is, Jim, and I'm a bad interviewee, and I'm sorry for that. But the aquarium is absolutely there. I have a six-year-old son. His name is Sam. Sam loves that aquarium. It is it's really great. We're very fortunate to be where we are in the capital region and in Schenectady because, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, upstate New York, it's kind of backwater. But I'll tell you, we've got some really impressive stuff. We've got some great sites, you know, some great attractions. We're very, very fortunate. And the Via Aquarium is just one example of those things.
Well, I came back to visit my parents when we went to Phantom Fest last year. And I had to go check out the aquarium, and they had a stingray tank, and they had this one giant stingray that would actually come right up out of the water, and you could actually touch his back while you were feeding him. It was just incredible. I enjoyed it so much. So if you're going to be at Fandom Fest, if you're coming from out of town and you're coming to Fandom Fest, leave some room to head over to the Rotterdam Square Mall and check it out. You won't be disappointed. There's,
absolutely.
Like Mike said, there's so much in that area to see.
It's true. And I'll tell you,
like
6-year-old Sam McCord, this is what we do. 6-year-old Sam McCord, he is a big proponent of that stingray. At one point, he told me that was his stingray. I tried to, disabuse him of that notion, but he wouldn't have it. So you can go over and visit my son's stingray. That's what you can do.
There's so much great stuff to do when you're at Fandom Fest. So you can make a whole mini vacation while you're down there. You definitely
absolutely
want to check it out. And let me see, what else did we really like last year? There was the cosplay last year was really great. Some great costumes.
We've got a lot of our cosplay judges are coming back. Magical Lee he's been just a fantastic, collaborator, just super supportive. Magical Lee is going to be one of our cosplay judges. We're excited to have him back. What surprised me, there was a former coworker of mine, his name is Sal, and Fandom Fest is really Sal's original idea. Sal came to me and said, hey, what about this thing? And I said, I think that's great. You should do it. And then Sal had to go and get a better job over in New Hampshire. But Sal and I had talked about what Fandom Fest could be, how we could really, make it something that would really work for the Capital Region. The thing that has surprised me time and time again is the resources that we have found in the Capital Region. You know, right in Schenectady, we have a company. It's called The Costumer. The Costumer has been in business for more than 100 years. They do more costumes for High School Musicals than I think any other company, maybe nationwide. I mean, these people they're incredible. These are not, DIY, low value costumes. These are high quality costumes that these guys put together. And, you can call them up and they'll, costume your entire cast. That's right in Schenectady. These people are building Broadway level costumes right in Schenectady, a 5-minute walk from Proctor's. It's really, we're very fortunate to be where we are. We feel like all of the different pieces of the puzzle are sort of coalesced to really make Fandom Fest something special.
And another thing that I want to mention to our listeners is they really developed that stretch of Erie Boulevard from around Proctor's right down to like past Burger King area. They put up a lot of street lights and it's really, really nice in that area now, leading down to the casino.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're also fortunate because Rivers Casino is right in town. That's a pretty big investment for New York State. So, the state believes in Schenectady. Schenectady, of course, it has a history, right? We were the original corporate headquarters for the General Electric Company. Thomas Edison literally got off a train in Schenectady, looked at this empty plot of land and said, this is where I'm going to build this company. So the original GE factory is still in town. We still have thousands of people
yep.
who work for GE right in town. Schenectady, we had a moment, probably in the 80s and the 90s, early 2000s, Schenectady was looking a little rough, but we've really turned it around. It's an incredible town. I feel very fortunate to live in Schenectady, to work in Schenectady. It's really great.
I lived there and worked there for most of my life as well, so that's pretty cool. And if you're listening to the sound of my voice and you want to go to Fandom Fest and you want to visit Schenectady, guess what? Amtrak has a stop like almost right across the street from Proctor's.
It's a 5-minute walk, Jim. 5-minute walk.
Yep.
I timed it.
It's right there. So you can hop a train and you can be right there. So it's very conveniently located, easy to get to if you're traveling. So that's a huge plus as well. I know I've taken that train out of Schenectady before, go down to see Mets games down in New York. So I know the train right there. So there's so much to offer I can't say enough good about it. So let's go back to Phantom Fest and talk a little bit about the Geek Garage. You're going to have that back again this year?
The Geek Garage is coming back. Absolutely. We have some really great cars this year. We have the station wagon from National Lampoon's Vacation, who's going to be there. Kit, the Ignite Industries 2000, will be there.
Oh, man,
the
Kit car.
Oh, it's great. It's great. The Batboat from the 1966 Batman, you know, the Adam West Batman series, Batboat's going to be there. We're gonna have Captain Kirk's. Now I know you like this, Jim. We're gonna have Captain Kirk's command chair from the original USS Enterprise NCC-1701.
Wow!
So you can get your picture taken right in Captain Kirk's chair. And entering in to the Geek Garage this year, if you are a fan of Doctor Who, you're literally gonna walk into Doctor Who's TARDIS to get into the Geek Garage this year.
Wow, that sounds awesome. That sounds great. I was at a convention in Long Island, and they had a captain's chair there, and I was dressed up as a Klingon, of course. I had my Batliff, and I was standing in the corner, and every time someone sat in the chair for a picture, I would photobomb them and jump out with my Batliff. And
nice.
Oh, people loved it. They loved it. They wanted to get pictures with the Batliff and with the Klingon in the captain's chair, and it turned out that I wasn't even planning it, but people loved it, so it was a lot of fun. So wow,
that's great. That's fantastic.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the artists. I know that you have scheduled to be appearing at Phantom Fest this year.
Sure,
I know there's quite a few.
We have some great celebrities. Let me talk about some true artists first, in so far as people who make some visual art. So Ron Mars, who, as it turns out, is a fellow graduate of Kingston High School with me, although he predates me by a couple of years. If you have ever read a DC comic in which Green Lantern was a character named Kyle Rayner, and Kyle Rayner was Green Lantern for quite a number of years, that is the work of Ron Mars. So we're going to have Ron Mars. He most recently, I think, wrote on Diablo 4, I think was his most recent gig that he did, which just came out a couple months back. We're going to have Ron Mars. Bart Sears is going to be there. We're going to have Doug Hills. Doug and Rick Arthur are going to be there. You know, these are people who have been working in the comic industry for literally decades. I had a conversation with Ron as we were trying to book him. You know, I had a Zoom call. Ron was talking about, I was working with Stan and yada, yada, yada. He told me the story about Stan. And about halfway through the story, I realized, oh, man, he's talking about Stan Lee. He knows Stan Lee well enough to refer to Stan Lee as Stan. So that's pretty exciting. We're very excited to have these guys. We're actually going to have a panel We've got a couple of writers, we've got a couple of illustrators, a couple of inkers, and we're going to have a conversation with them about what it takes to go from, you know, Marvel, DC, whomever they hired me to write a comic book, to create a comic book. You know, how do we get from, you know, point A to the finish line? So we're pretty excited to have those guys come down.
Wow, that's impressive. That is impressive. He knows Stan Lee well enough to call him Stan. Wow.
Right. It was crazy. It was very, very exciting.
So let's talk a little bit about the panel. I'll start off. I'm going to blow my own horn here for a second here. I'm going to be doing a panel called Star Trek and Across the Universe. And although Phantom Fest isn't a Star Trek convention, which the venues I'm used to attending, I'm going to do a basic Star Trek panel. And that's why I called it Star Trek and Across the Universe, just to talk about Star Trek. Star Trek's been around for 58 years. There's a huge plethora for information and shows and topics to draw from. And rather than be specific and do Captain Kirk or Discovery or whatever, I want to leave it up to you guys. You can pick the topic. I can talk about anything about Star Trek. So we're just going to have some fun Trek talking about Star Trek. Anything that you guys want to talk about, I'm game. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be Sunday at 10, I believe, is when it is.
That's right.
So you guys, you guys can come and you can meet Uncle Jim in person and we can just have some fun Trek talking. And you don't have to be a fan. You don't have to know the angle of Spock's ears. You don't have to know how many ridges are on Worf's head, how many bolts are on the Enterprise, where the bathroom is located. You don't have to know any of that. All you need to do is be interested in Star Trek and want to hang out with some fans and talk about it. That's all. There's no judgment.
I, for one, would like to know the angle of Spock's ears, frankly. Do you actually know the angle of Spock's ears? How many ridges are on Worf's head? I came prepared, Jim. I have been watching. I'm a huge Star Trek fan, and I got to tell you that season three of Star Trek Picard was everything that I wanted it to be, just unbelievably great. Can we do spoilers? Am I allowed to do spoilers?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so when the Enterprise D came out, when that came back, I called a coworker at Proctor's, my friend Chris, he's our CFO, and I said, "Have you watched Star Trek Picard yet?" And he goes, "Oh no, I'm gonna watch it tonight with my wife." And I was like, "I gotta tell you, man, it's not worth it. Forget your wife. Watch the episode now. It's fantastic. It was so good." He made the wise choice and waited for his wife. That's why I'm still single. But I'll tell you that Strange New Worlds this year has also it has just absolutely blown me away. I'm sad that we're almost over. We're almost at episode Strange New Worlds, and that last episode, the Subspace Rhapsody. Fantastic.
I was going to talk to you about that because I'm going to – working at Proc, figured that would be your thing. And I have to tell you that personally, I am not a musical kind of guy. Because I had a crush on Olivia Newton-John, obviously.
Who didn't? Right.
You know, Wizard of Oz, you know, Willy Wonka growing up. But I couldn't name a single song from a single musical. It's just not my thing. Well, when I heard they were doing a musical on Star Trek, we talked about it last week on the podcast. A couple of my co-hosts are huge musical fans. I'm not. I wasn't expecting anything from it. In fact, I was like, why are they wasting an episode? This is going to be so dumb, a musical on Star Trek. But, Mike, have you seen it?
Oh, I absolutely have.
Okay, then I'm not spoiling anything. It was one of the best Star Trek episodes I have ever seen, and when the Klingon end, I fell off my chair laughing.
Well, can I tell you? And I feel like I'm not gonna surprise you with this, Jim. But the guy who played the Klingon commander,
yeah,
in that episode, he was a returning actor.
Yes, he was.
That was Bruce Horak. And I got to tell you, I'm looking it up. I wish I knew Bruce's name well enough to get it off the top of my head. But they had Bruce Horak come back. He was Hemmer, obviously, last season. It was fantastic. And I want to give a special shout-out. Celia Rose Gooding, who plays Uhura. I watched that. I went into that show, that particular episode, cold. And I was watching it going, like, man, Uhura can sing. That is really impressive. And I looked her up. Celia Rose Gooding was in the original cast of Jagged Little Pill, which is the Alanis Morissette musical, which was a Broadway darling. We actually had that Proctor's only a couple of months ago. Now, obviously, she wasn't in it. It was a national tour. She's no longer in that cast. But, man, just everybody did an incredible job. It was so much fun to watch that episode. I really enjoyed it.
I was a detractor before I saw it, but since I have seen it, I've been online defending this episode because I was worried that it was going to be, you know, like Grease or Willy Wonka. They were just going to walk around singing about, look at the trees, they're blowing in the wind and this kind of stuff like that. But
yeah,
the premise behind it was so Star Trek. It fit, especially when they acknowledged, why are we singing?
And right.
As soon as they acknowledged the fact that they were aware that they were singing and didn't know why they were singing, in my mind, it was no longer just a musical. There was a purpose. There's a reason. And when
Absolutely.
The Klingons showed up and started singing, I was like, oh, my God, can they make this any better? I absolutely loved it. And if you haven't seen it, if you're a holdout because you don't think a musical would work on Star Trek, you're selling yourself short. It was nothing short
of
spectacular.
I absolutely agree.
I'll
tell you, the greatest, the funniest song to me, not the best song, but the funniest song to me, was when Pike and his captain and girlfriend there, and I can't remember the character's name, please forgive me, when they were on the bridge of the Enterprise singing a song that they called A Private Conversation, and it was in
yes.
front of his entire command crew. Just brilliant. So funny.
When he got down on his knee and he's confessing his love to her, and he's like, why am I doing this in front of my crew? I was like,
so great. Absolutely hysterical. So funny.
It was wonderful. I loved it. I've watched it a couple of times already. The soundtrack is already on iTunes. You can pick it up.
Oh.
It was wonderful. In fact, you guys should have the musical of Star Trek at Proctor's.
Listen, you know, the moment that the agents reach out and they let us know it's available, I'll talk to the powers that be. I'm going to see if we can book it. But, you know, I bet that's a tough get. You know, Star Trek's a popular property.
It was wonderful. I cannot say I was thinking, you know, is that really them singing or is it being dubbed? But apparently, you know, that was them actually singing those songs, which was even better. You know,
it was. So they had there were a couple of actors who they used a little bit of auto tune. If you've had a little bit of I've had a little bit of training, so I can hear the auto tune. But I got to tell you, Ethan Peck, that was pretty clean. That was pretty much him. Jess Bush, who plays Nurse Chapel, that was really good. Celia Rose Gooding, who plays Uhura, very good. And the woman who plays La'an, Christina Chong, he is actually a recording artist. She was a recording artist before she got to Strange New Worlds.
Wow. That's why she sang so good.
So, she was great. Absolutely great.
And, you know, something else that I enjoyed about it was if you listened the lyrics of the songs that they sang, like when Spock did the I'm the X song.
Yeah.
You know, when Jess Bush broke up with Spock and sang the song to him, all the songs that they sang were like relevant to what the character was going through at that particular time. You know, they weren't just singing a song, Greased Lightning or something like that. The songs actually were very relevant to what was going on at that particular time, and I really enjoyed it. It was I can't say enough good about it.
Oh, it was great. There has not been an episode of Strange New Worlds, you know, and of course musicals are near and dear to my heart as I work at a Broadway theater. But there's not been an episode of Strange New Worlds where I've walked away anything other than excited. Right? I don't even want to say like I wasn't disappointed. That's selling it short. I was excited to have watched that episode. It was just
now, look,
I mean the crossover episode with Lower Decks, just hysterical.
Oh my God, that was so funny. Jonathan Frakes just nailed that one. It was perfect.
They call him two takes Frakes. I'm sure you've heard that story.
Yep.
Yeah. He's an immensely talented director, talented actor, very tall man. I feel like we're in a golden age of Star Trek, and I feel excited to be a part of it.
Let me ask you a question, Mike. As I already told you, I'm not a musical buff by any means. The only three I really know are the three I mentioned. So,
sure.
Based on your expertise and knowledge of musicals, not as a Star Trek episode, but as a musical, how well did they pull off Strange New Worlds, the musical, in your opinion?
I think they nailed it, right? I mean, and of course, the brilliance of it was they used the sort of classical musical convention as a plot device, right? There's this idea in musicals that's called there's always a song called "Where Am I Going," and that's the spirit of the song, right? Why is the character going to go from wherever they start at the top of the first act to wherever they're going to end at the end of the second act? There's always a song that kind of outlines that journey, and in this episode, they literally use as a plot device. Why is everyone just sort of disclosing their deepest, darkest emotional secrets, right? And that's really what most musicals do, right? You've got your story, and then a lot of times, like, reality sort of suspends for a moment, and you're hearing the character's inner monologue. But of course, in this episode, you're still hearing their inner monologue, but you're also understanding that it's being said out loud, you know. So when Spock is opening up his heart about being the ex and how heartbroken he is, and and Uhura is sort of showing her, you know, her whole insecurities about whether or not she's capable of doing what she's doing. In a traditional stage musical, that happens sort of separate from reality. But in this, it's happening within reality, and they worked it into the plot, which is just a stroke of brilliance, frankly.
You've said it perfect. That's what I keep telling people. You need to watch it because of the way they did it. To me, I'll tell you honestly, when I watched it, I didn't think I was watching Star Trek the musical, but I was watching a Star Trek episode with music because
absolutely
of the way they worked it in. And to hear Spock singing about his emotions, that's a pretty big step for that character.
Right. And that's, of course, that to me is the brilliance of it, right? Like, to have a character that is, you know, famously absent emotion. You know, I mean, you only see Spock exhibit emotion in the most extreme circumstance. You know, he's in the middle of Ponfar, you know, whatever it is, and that's when you see Spock really kind of let go. But in this, because again, reality suspends, so he's able to be more emotive without betraying what that character is. It's just fantastic.
And Ethan Peck is a fantastic actor. He nailed it.
I mean, listen, he comes from some good stock. You know, I mean, his grandfather is Gregory Peck, so, you know, you really can't go wrong with one of the Peck boys as an actor in your show.
No, that episode, I highly recommend it to anybody. But you're going to have the captain's chair, and Uncle Jim's going to be there. I'm also going to be a Klingon, so you guys can stop by and get a picture and touch my batlet if you want to. So we're going to have some fun with that. So let's talk about some of the talent that you guys are bringing into town for Fandom Fest.
We've really lucked out. Now, we have Alan Tudyk and Summer Glau. And,
oh, my God, I'm so excited.
So now here's the thing, Jim. So I don't know if you heard, there's a little bit of a kerfuffle with some of the actors and some of the studios. There's a little bit of a strike going on. So
I wanted to ask you about that.
Yep.
I was going to bring
that
up.
We at Fandom Fest are absolutely on the side of the performers. We support the folks in SAG-AFTRA. We think that I mean, listen, we all survived, amongst other things, we all survived a global pandemic in which we were all, you know, obsessively watching every streaming service and cable service available. I mean, those actors really got us through some pretty rough times. We are very excited to support those actors. So I'm a little bit limited in the things that I'm able to really talk about. I mean, I could tell you that Summer Glau and Alan Tudyk are incredible actors. They've been in shows and movies together. I recommend that you go to IMDb and look them up and figure out what shows those are. We're going to follow the rules that SAG-AFTRA has encouraged us to follow. So Alan and Summer and Todd Haberkorn, Keone Young, we've got Adrian Paul. We've got some really great performers that are going to be there. We're going to leave it up to them to talk about what they're willing to talk about. But for us, we're going to respect what's going on with SAG-AFTRA. We're going to support those actors. We're just excited that these folks are still coming. We've talked to all their agents. We know the sort of the parameters under which we need to operate, and we're ready to go. We're excited to support everybody as in any way we can.
Fans that are listening that might not be aware of what Mike is talking about, there's a lot of restrictions because of the strike that are on some of the actors. And the way I understand it from conventions I've been to during this strike, the actors will sign anything that a fan brings to them. They will not refuse to sign your picture, of K2SO or whatever, because they're still actors, you're still fans. So if you bring something to them, they will more than happily sign it for you. So
that is my understanding.
Keep that in mind.
Absolutely.
Okay, if you have your favorite picture, your favorite poster, you're going to want to bring that with you. They will sign it. As far as what's available, I'm talking about Star Trek conventions. I'm sure that it's the same here. When you go to a Star Trek convention, for instance, and William Shatner is there, or Doug Jones is there, the only pictures that they are allowed to sell on their table are headshots of themselves and not of the character. So if you want to go to Alan's table and you want to get a picture of K2SO, you won't be able to. And again, Mike was perfect when he said it. This is because of the strike. It's not anything personal against the fans, nothing like that. So please be prepared and bring stuff with you, because they'll be more than happy to sign your Firefly pictures or your Terminator pictures. They just won't have them available on their table. So I wanted to get that out there to you guys. That's the way their Star Trek conventions are. And I'm pretty sure these guys are members of the Guild, so they're pretty much operating under the same rules, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right. So what we've talked with the talent about is that, as much as we can, of course we were advertising all these great shows and movies that they've been in. The strike happened, so now we've gone back and sort of amended all of our marketing materials, try to remove some of that reference. The actors, as far as the union is concerned, they cannot promote work that was created under the most recent or any past SAG-AFTRA contract, which is fine, because you know what, these people are, I mean, they are more than their career. I mean, you know, Alan Tudyk is a Juilliard trained actor. I mean, so we have a lot of stuff that we can talk about. But I will tell you that one of the things we're most excited to support these folks about. You know, there are 160,000 people, a little more than that, who are members of SAG-AFTRA. Now, in order to qualify for health insurance through the Actors Union, you have to gross $26,000 a year. So of the 160,000 people that are in the Actors Union, 20,000 of them make $26,000 a year or more. So that's something like, you know, 12-13% of people or something like that. And if you do the math, $26,000 a year works out to be $12.50 an hour. And it's not that much money. Then when you factor in state and federal taxes and union dues and paying for that health insurance and paying your agent, on $26,000, you're talking about maybe $10,000 in your pocket. So really what these folks are fighting for is a living wage. And I think that most people can agree that making $10,000 a year would not be considered a living wage. So we believe in what they're doing. We're very supportive of them, and we hope this all works out for the folks in the SAG-AFTRA union.
I think that a lot of fans I talk to on this podcast and on the Facebook page, they don't understand what it's all about. And when they think about actors, you know, they're thinking about Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jamie Lee Curtis and Sylvester Stallone.
Sure.
You know, when you hear these people are making hundreds and millions of dollars, and those are the ones that you think of, Tom Cruise. But what people don't realize is, you know, when Tom Cruise is in a movie, yeah, he's the top billing guy. But what about the guy when he walks into the restaurant and orders his food? What about that actor that takes his order? What about the actor that there's a lot of other people that go into a movie besides Tom Cruise? And these are the people that are being affected the most, not Tom Cruise and Sylvester Stallone. They're in a different league. We're talking your basic working class people like you and I.
Right. I would recommend your listeners check out there's a group of actors. I want to say there's 10, maybe 10 of them. I know George Clooney's on the list. I know Oprah Winfrey's on the list. I mean, these are people who have really had some pretty spectacular careers. And these folks have donated $1 million apiece back to the union so that the union during the strike can continue to support its most vulnerable members. You know, so this is really, even the folks who are, you know, in the top 1%, as one might say, you know, these people, they're not fighting for themselves, to your point, Jim. They're really fighting for, you know, for the folks who are, you know, putting 10 grand in their pocket every year, you know, or less, because, you know, it's, the vast majority of people in that union don't earn enough to even qualify for health insurance, let alone a living wage. You know, and I don't know if you realize, I don't know if you've heard this, Jim, but California, not an inexpensive place to live. So
no, not at all. And
yeah, right,
something
right.
else, I'm sure that these guys are the same, but when you go to a Star Trek convention, when you go up to the table to get an autograph, they're more than happy to talk to you one-on-one and with you personally, because that's a personal conversation. But at a panel that's considered public, it's a different situation. So, for instance, if you wanted to talk to Alan about how he did K2SO at a normal convention, you would ask that at the panel, but now they're asking not to do that because it's considered a public appearance. And if you want to know how Alan did K2SO, ask him on the autograph table one-on-one, because that's considered a personal conversation. So,
right.
So bear that
exactly
in mind,
right.
You know, as well.
Yeah. We're going to have moderators as well on all of our panels. We're going to be, you know, we're working with our moderators and making sure that they're well informed about what the rules are, what the limitations are, trying to find, you know, gentle ways to redirect those conversations. If one of the congoers, you know, sort of, you know, forgets for a moment what our limitations are. You know, I also want to say, because we don't really know, you know, what's going to happen at those tables, we also want people to understand that, you know, depending on that actor's, you know, personal preferences, maybe they don't want to chat about these things at the table. And, you know, and again, we're going to find very gentle, very sort of loving ways to redirect things if we need to. But
But the reality is, and so I alluded to this before, you know, Alan and Summer and Todd Haberkorn and Dave and Adrian, I mean, these people have really accomplished incredible things. And if you really stop and think about it for a moment, you can find some pretty interesting, pretty compelling questions to ask them that are not, what was it like to be on Firefly? You know, I'm sure that there's some great stories about being on Firefly, but I think that there's something to be said for the journey that brought all of these actors to the place where they are. You know, the actors that we have coming to Fandom Fest, we feel very fortunate because these are folks that are generally not struggling with, you know, $26,000 a year. These folks, generally speaking, are probably earning more than that. These are people who've been very successful, and based on the numbers, are you know, atypically successful. You know, they've been in dozens of shows and, you know, tens of movies and things like that. And you know, there's a lot of really fun conversations to be had, while also respecting the fact that these people are standing up for other people in their industry and really trying to find a way to make these people, you know, sort of solvent and make sure they have a living wage.
Exactly. So when you go to the convention, don't get upset at Fandom Fest or Summer Glau, I think that Mike said this is important, and I think we all need to respect it. So bear that in mind while you're there, okay? And please bring your own photos, and that will solve a lot of problems for you. At least I know at Star Trek conventions they're doing that. I'm assuming they're doing that here too?
Yes.
I would assume?
Yeah. So, if you bring a Firefly poster, by the actor's agent. Yeah.
Yep. They'll sign a Firefly poster for you if you bring it, or a Resident Alien poster or whatever. They'll be more than happy. So before we run out of wow, Mike, we're flying right by. Are there still going to be photo ops at the convention as well, or is that that's still happening, right?
Absolutely, yeah. We have Summer and Alan specifically. They have so if you look at our schedule, there are specific times to get photos taken with them, separate from the photos taken with them, because they would rather not do selfies. So we have professional photographers who are going to take pictures of you and Alan Tudyk or Summer Glau. And then we will also have them at a table where they can sign those photos that you could take in, or sign, you know, the Firefly or Serenity DVDs or anything that you want to bring to the table. So we'll have lots and lots and lots of opportunities for these folks to, you know, for you to chat with them, for them to sign the things that you'd like them to sign. I'd recommend you all go to fandomfest.org. Certainly that's the best place to get tickets, but you can also, you know, you can look at what the schedules are. You can look at what some of the pricing is for some of the autographs. I don't think all of the pricing has been posted yet. We're still waiting to hear back from their representation on a couple of those things. But as soon as we have it, we're going to put it up on the website. We're going to let you know way ahead of time. You know, we're really excited. This is only our second year. You know, and last year it was a lot of like, you know, oh gosh, I hope we don't mess this up. And we walked away from last year feeling really good about the event. We were very pleased with how it went. People seemed very happy. You know, we didn't have any, you know, major snafus or anything like that. So we're already trending in a really good direction. We've got more ticket sales this year than we did this time last year. You know, we're excited to bring this to the Capital Region, to bring this to upstate New York. One of our taglines is, you know, this is a con, you know, for the fans, by the fans. And I have to tell you that the folks who sit in the room to plan this event, gosh, Jim, we're a bunch of nerds. I mean, and I say that proudly. We are really so excited to bring these people. You know, we didn't think we were going to get Alan Tudyk. I mean, you know, that's a tough get. And when we got him, I mean, we celebrated. I mean, we are as excited to meet these people as I think the fans are, you know. And it's really a thrill for us. We're so excited to be able to do this.
and to add to fan experiences, especially in upstate New York. We feel very honored to do it.
Well, Alan and Summer is just a spectacular pairing.
Oh, yeah.
Better.
I got to tell you, but between you and me and all your listeners, I think that the fact that we were able to get them both, I think that they each, maybe they were a little skeptical, and then they heard, oh, my friend from that show is coming, and I think that the fact we were able to get both of them, I think that helped. So we're very excited to get both of them.
Are they going to be doing can you get a group photo op with the both of them, or are they individual?
I don't know the answer to that, Jim. Definitely at least individual. I don't know if we can get a group photo. That's a good question. I should know the answer to that. Let's go back in time and I'll pretend that I do. I don't know. But I tell you what, I'm going to find out, Jim, and I'm going to let you know so that you can tell your listeners on your next episode. But I will tell you that Summer and Alan are going to appear in a panel together. Now, originally, as you could probably guess, the panel was about a particular property that they were both in. But now we're excited to talk to them both at the same time to hear about their sort of their journeys through the industry and some experiences that they may or may not have shared together. We're looking forward to watching that reunion happen live on stage at Proctor's.
It's going to be a blast. And you guys, if you're listening, you can get all the information at our page and go to trektalking.com. And right there, the very first post you're going to see is a picture of a stormtrooper playing Miss Pac-Man. And just click on that, and that link will bring you right to the Fandom Fest page. You can order your tickets and find out all the information you want. So it's that easy, guys. You don't even have to do any work. Just go to our page like you always do and click on the Stormtrooper playing arcade games, and he'll take you right to where you want to go. So it's really easy, really quick. So please check it out. And believe it or not, Mike, we have pretty much burned up our entire hour.
There's some sort of weird chronoton particle thing that's happening here, Jim, because that was too fast.
I feel like singing a song about Fandom Fest.
I'll let you take over. I'll let you do that. I know you guys all saw a singing Klingon on TV last week, but you come to Fandom Fest, word on the street, there's going to be a singing Klingon there too.
There'll be another singing Klingon. So
that's right.
We've got a couple minutes left. So you guys have general admission tickets. You also have VIP tickets as well, correct?
We have general. You can buy 1-day passes. You can buy 2-day passes. So basically, you're looking at $35 or $60 if you want to come to both things. Yeah.
Excellent. And can people pick those tickets up at the Proctor's box office?
Absolutely. You can stop at the Proctor's box office. You can buy them day of. But of course, we strongly encourage you to go to Jim's page, go to trektalking.com, click the link to bring you over to fandomfest.org. You can buy tickets right on our website. You can go to tickets.proctors.org. So you can get them there. You can buy them the day of. I mean, we're going to find a way to get you those tickets. You want them, we'll get them to you.
Absolutely. Well, Mike, I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know planning a convention takes a lot out of you, so I really appreciate you taking some time out to talk with us. Thank you so much.
Uncle Jim, it was absolutely my pleasure. I cannot wait to see you and your forehead ridges and your bat lift live in Schenectady on August 26th and 27th at Fandom Fest.
I will be there, and you know what? If you come up to me and you ask real nice, I might even sing you a song. You never can tell.
There it is. All right.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Mike, and you guys can tune in on Thursday night. We're going to have Susie Plaxton on the show, who played Kalar on Star Trek The Next Generation, Worf's girlfriend. That's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to also talk about Under the Cloak of War, which was the Klingon episode a couple of weeks ago. We're a little bit behind because they dropped two episodes on us, so we're a little bit behind. But that'll be Thursday night, same bat time, same bat channel. And, we're just about out of time. So I'm your most excellent host, Uncle Jim, saying Star Trek fans are the best fans. You better believe it. Please, everybody, and be good to each other. Hailing frequencies are closed. Good night, Mike.
Good night, Jim. Thank you.
Let's see what's out there. Engage.